This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk about God's law for marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does God's word say about the institution of marriage? What does it say if one were to divorce their spouse and remarry? What is the consequence of that? We want to hear from God's Word this morning on the program about this matter, and we're glad that you've joined us. With the divorce rate in this country being around 50%, one in two marriages ends in a divorce, what we're talking about this morning is a very important thing. It's a reality. It's something that is commonplace in our society. What does God say about that? Many people don't care about what God says. We're getting away from the Bible. We're getting away from marriage being for life, marriage being between a man and a woman. We're getting away from things, and we're reaping the disastrous consequences of that. We're going by man's law rather than God's law on these matters. Man's law allows for divorce for any cause. Man's law allows for two men or two women to be married. And so, we have a choice. We can follow what man says and what we think and feel, or we can follow the law of God. And what we're going to find in the law of God, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're going to find the same thing, that marriage is between a man and a woman. It is for life, and God hates divorce. That right there is contrary to what many people think today. But I hope our study from God's Word, where we let the Bible speak, I hope that will encourage us to do what God wants in our lives rather than what man wants. And it's going to be a test for us. Do we really love God and His Word? It's been my experience that when I speak on these matters with other individuals, especially others who are having something in their marriage, experiencing something that is not according to the Word of God, they tend to just simply go on their feelings or what they like or what they feel, and they'll say, well, I hear what the Bible says, but a lot of times people say, well, God wants me to be happy, and so I'm in this particular relationship. It doesn't match up with what the Scripture says, but God wants me to be happy. He does. Absolutely. Amen. And the way you can be happy is to follow His Word. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, and we will go down through the passages, the main passages in the Word of God that deal with marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we will look at some passages in the Old Testament, and we will look at some passages in the New Testament. We will take time to go down through them in detail. We'll get as far as we can this morning on the program. If we have to finish up next week, Lord willing, we can do that. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis 2:18. You may recall in the account of the creation of the world, the 6 days of creation and then God resting on the seventh day, when God finished that, Genesis 1:31, He saw that everything was very good, very good. But there was one thing that was not good. And we learned what that is in Genesis 2:18. It was not good that man should be alone. In Genesis 2:18, and Jehovah God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Notice, first of all, that this is a divine action of God. God is taking the initiative to create a woman for Adam. And that divine directive and initiative is important when we get later into the matter of marriage. We need to remember that this is from God. God is not only making Eve and creating her from the rib of Adam, but He is also instituting the relationship for those two individuals. They don't come up with that on their own. Marriage did not evolve Marriage was not an accident. Marriage was not an act of man. The same God who created Eve also created the marriage institution and relationship by which Adam and Eve would live together emotionally, socially, sexually, bear children. He created that relationship. So notice, first of all, in verse 18, that God is taking the initiative in this relationship. And then we read, I will make him, that is Adam, a help meet or suitable for him. This is something very important in today's society when we think about homosexual marriages. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He made a woman who was suitable for him, comparable. The old English versions, M-E-E-T, someone who is suitable or comparable, matching to him. A man and a man do not match up, regardless of how they describe their love and their feelings for each other. A woman and a woman do not match up. Homosexuality, which is the subject of another Let the Bible Speak program, is condemned both in the Old and New Testaments very clearly. But what we find here is that God could have made Adam another man, and he chose not to do that. So he makes a woman who will be suitable and comparable and helpful to him. So verse 19, out of the ground, Jehovah God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them unto the man to see what he would call them, and whatsoever the man called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for man there was not found a help meet for him. And Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. We might say the first surgery. And from that rib, which Jehovah God had taken from the man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Notice that he made a woman, not another man. Notice that he brought her unto the man. Again, keep in mind the divine action and direction and directive. I will make him a help meet for him. God brought her unto the man. He is in control of this. He is designing this. He is instituting this. It all comes from God. And the world that we live in, as we are getting away from God, cares nothing about these things. We could say these things until we're blue in the face, and many people won't care because they're getting away from God. They don't believe in God. Or they do, but they don't believe the Bible is His Word. And so these things mean nothing. But if we are God believers, if that is still in us, then we must accept His law, His teaching on these matters. So first of all, we notice with regard to marriage, and we're going to get to the details of that in just a minute, verse 23 and 24, that first of all, it was homo sapien, between two individuals, not between a man and animals. Bestiality has been done by man before. It continues to be done, but it is against God's word. That is condemned elsewhere in Scripture. Two human beings. Number two, marriage is heterosexual, not homosexual. A man and a woman. He made a woman and brought her unto the man. So homo sapien, heterosexual, and then we're going to begin to see the relationship. We find that it is one. It is monogamous. Mono means one. It was not polygamous. God did not create several women for Adam. Later in God's word, where individuals are described as having multiple wives, there is trouble. This is against God's plan. And we even have religions today. The Mormon religion and the Islam religion that allow polygamy. This is against God's law. So first of all, it was homo sapien, two individuals. It was heterosexual, a man and a woman. And it was monogamous, one man and one woman. And in verse 23, we pick up the reading. The man, singular, said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, singular, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Notice that it is the man, singular, and his wife, singular. Notice it's the man, and not another man, but a man and his wife. These are all foundational to what God wants in the marriage relationship. And as each generation goes along and we get farther and farther away from God's ideal, we just simply reap the terrible consequences of that. For us as adults and for any children that are brought into the relationship, and then ultimately society itself crumbles. Notice in verse 23, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother." Adam didn't have a father and a mother. He's the first one. So what is this? This is a statement to talk about all future relationships. When a man leaves his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, it is setting up, the relationship between Adam and Eve is setting up for all future relationships. When a man does have a father and a mother, and he can leave them for his wife, this is what is to take place. It is the first marriage setting up the standard and the blueprint for all subsequent marriages. So look at what Adam said. Look at the word therefore. Therefore is drawing a conclusion from what has just been said. The woman was taken from the man. She was taken out of man. Therefore, there's a conclusion to this. There's a principle to be drawn from the fact that she was taken out of the man. What is it? Well, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one. She was taken from him. Notice man and woman. In the Hebrew, ish and isha. The close connection, even in the names, show that there is a commonality, a common origin. And so the woman was taken from the man. Now the man, Adam, back in chapter 2 and verse 7, was formed from the dust of the ground. But the woman was formed from his rib. And so in marriage, a man goes back to a woman. They join together. She came from him, and in marriage, they go back together, and they cleave. They are one. The coming from the man is to demonstrate the oneness between the two of them in marriage. And what we find there is that marriage is a permanent relationship. It's homo sapien, between two humans. It's heterosexual, between a man and a woman. It is monogamous, between one man and one woman. And we'll see that later when we get to the New Testament, that it, all of these things are confirmed in the New Testament. And then finally, it is permanent in nature. And that's contrary to modern society. Today, just like we have throwaway products from Walmart, we have throwaway marriages. Some will marry for a few minutes or a few hours or a few days, maybe a few weeks or a few months, but they get out of their marriage. It's a throwaway marriage. Older generations knew the value and importance and responsibility of a lifelong marriage until death do us part. That's God's way. Because in verse 24, we have the word cleave, to be glued together, to be cemented together. It's to be a permanent relationship. And it's to be an innocent relationship that is not tainted by outside adultery, where we seek a sexual relationship with someone else. Verse 25, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There was no sin in this relationship yet. It enters in the next chapter when the devil appears. He always tries to mess up marriages and everything else that he can. And he did that in chapter 3, and he does it even today. But at this point, no sin is in the relationship. And there's no shame, there's no blame, no sin. And it's the marriage relationship that God wants for all time. These things are not heard much today, but they should be. We need to hit the reset button, friends, on marriage in the home and a lot of other things in our life. Hit the reset button. And that's what going back to Genesis is all about. When our phone isn't operating and the computer isn't operating and the TV isn't operating and you call technical support, one of the first things they ask you is, did you hit the reset button? Did you reboot? Did you restart? And it's time for our world and our society to hit the reset button before it's too late. We're already headed down a terrible path. We would do well to hit the reset button and go back to the marriage in the home that we find in the very beginning, where a man has a woman who is suitable and comparable to him, and they love each other, as Paul talks about in the New Testament. That's what God intends. Now, there are individuals who know their Bibles, and they know something about Deuteronomy chapter 24, if you'll turn with me there, Deuteronomy chapter 24. The Israelites are on the edge of the promised land, and they're going to be going into the promised land, and God is giving them some more laws. Deutero means second, the second giving of God's laws. He gave them some laws at Mount Sinai, and then some 40 years later on the plains of Moab, he gives them some more laws. And what's interesting here is that he brings up a matter about a man who wants to put away his wife, who no longer wants to be married to her. And he gives some instructions here, but you have to read them very carefully. Some have said that what this is overturning what God said back in Genesis 2. What Adam said and recorded by Moses, what God did in making man and woman, that this overturns that, but it doesn't. You have to read it carefully. In fact, you have to pay attention to a very small word, the little word if. And Jesus will make reference to this later in his ministry, and we'll look at that as we get to it. But turn with me to Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. Jesus said that Moses gave this legislation because of the hardness of the Israelites' hearts. That says something right there. This is not just simply God out of the blue changing marriage to where a man can get rid of his wife if he sees something that he doesn't like in her. He can send her off and all of that's fine. God does not operate like that. God does not make an institution such as marriage and then sometime later completely overturn it. This is coming from the hardness of the Israelites' hearts. Men with a hard heart did not want to be married to their wives, and they were sending them away. This is not God's design. This is not what God wanted. This is the hardness of the Israelites' hearts. Well, if someone has a hardened heart, and they're going to do something, regardless of what you tell them, regardless of what God wants, and he had just guided them through the wilderness, and he's giving them more law now before they go into the land of Canaan, you would think that they would be appreciative about to go into the land of Canaan. But they had hard hearts. And some of them, some of these men, were sending their wives away. They didn't like some things about them. So, first of all, this is not new legislation by God condoning divorce for any cause and overturning the permanency of marriage found in Genesis 2. It is a regulation on men with hardened hearts who are wanting to do this, and so this is legislation to control it. Read with me Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. This is not overturning Genesis 2. This is regulating men who don't want to follow Genesis 2. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. When a man taketh a wife and marrieth her, then it shall be, if she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some unseemly thing in her, that he shall write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Let's stop right there. There's a couple of things I want to notice. First of all, the text says, when a man takes a wife and marries her, then it shall be if she find no favor in his eyes. This is an if situation. This is not God telling them to do this. He's saying, if someone does this, then this is what is supposed to be done. But the fact that they do it is not commended by God or encouraged by God. He's trying to regulate the hardness of the Israelites' hearts. So if someone does this, then these are the steps that must be taken. First of all, he must write her a bill of divorcement and give it into her hand and send her out of his house. It can't just simply be a verbal statement. There has to be written proof that he no longer wants her. And the cause is given in verse 1, an unseemly thing. This is not adultery. Adultery, other places in the law of Moses, is condemned and judged by stoning to death. This is a word that means some inappropriate act. It may have been her uncovering herself to another man, or speaking inappropriately to another man. Something short of adultery. Then he sends her away by writing this bill of divorcement. Verse 2, and when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. She may go. God is taking care of the woman. In that society, she would have been left alone, would have been difficult to have food, shelter, and clothing. And she can go, she may go, and be another man's wife. Look at verse 3. And if the latter husband hate her, look at the word if. God is not wanting men and women to do these things. He's saying if, then you do this. It's called if-then legislation. If-then legislation is not God wanting people to do these things, encouraging them or commanding them, but if they do such and such, then there are some rules that must follow. Verse 3, if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband die who took her to be his wife, her former husband who sent her away may not take her back again to be his wife. After that she is defiled, for that is abomination before Jehovah, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which Jehovah thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. This is keeping the man of verse 1 from frivolously sending her away. He can't just frivolously send her away and then sometime later take her back again. He may not do that, verse 4. It's to cut down on men just frivolously sending his wife away. Notice in verse 3, if the latter husband hate her, if this is legislation by God where he's encouraging divorce for some cause other than adultery, then why is he not encouraging, verse 3, the hatred of the man toward this wife? If the latter husband hate her, well, is that a reason for divorce? Hating? If he hate her and write her a bill of divorcement, is that what God is wanting the second man to do? He's encouraging him to hate his wife and write her a bill of divorcement? No. These are things that men are doing from the hardness of their heart. And God is trying to control the matter to keep it from happening, to curtail it, and number 2, to protect the woman. Notice in verse 4, the former husband who sent her away may not take her back again to be his wife. It's to cut down on him frivolously sending her away and then having second thoughts and, oh, I want her back. But also notice in verse 4, after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before Jehovah, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin. And so, friends, God wants man and woman to stay together. We're glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. We're looking at God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I hope that you will follow that. I try to follow that in my life. We're glad that you've joined us on the program. If you want to study these things more, please continue to be with us. And next week, we'll pick up and we'll continue looking at God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate you, and we hope that you'll have a good day.